Joshua chapter number 7 this morning. Joshua chapter number 7. Thank you again for coming to Sunday school. And I want to talk to you on GPS series. What we're doing right now is God's Proverbs to study. Again, we're not really looking at Proverbs as far as going through a detailed study. You have all of that on your Sunday school lesson. I hope that you'll, again, look through that. It's really a topical study in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be 31 different lessons. It's interesting that our theme for this year is 2020 vision, and then today we're going to look at eyes this morning as far as what the book of Proverbs says about that, and it's important to have our vision right. And this year my goal is to kind of hit different things about, it was on your bulletin as far as the 12 different subjects, but I think this month is Bible study, and we'll go through the family and marriage and ministry and things like that, just to make sure that we're focused right as far as what we're seeing. You know, the bad thing about spiritual blindness is you don't know that you're blind. A person who's physically blind, they know they can't see. People who are spiritually blind, oftentimes they don't know they can't see. And so hopefully the Lord help our vision, spiritual vision, again, to be what it should be. Let's go ahead and pray one more time, if you don't mind. We'll look at Joshua chapter 7. Heavenly Father, again, we ask for your help in this. We teach and preach your word. I ask you to please speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you for the song that was just sung. Thank you again for your love for us. Lord, I ask you to please help Brother Swope this morning, comfort him with the loss of his father, and Lord, again, help the church in Wichita and use him today. Lord, whoever might be speaking, give him the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 7 is where we're at, so let's just pick it up right there. And church, I mean, you know the story. If you understand, of course, Joshua is now the leader, and Moses, of course, is now gone. Joshua comes to the first city to destroy in the land of Canaan. It was Jericho. They come to Jericho, and he says, now listen, when you come to Jericho, you can't take anything. Now, if you understand, in war, a lot of times, they were allowed to take of the spoils. That was kind of part of their salary as far as being a soldier. This first city they were not supposed to was Jericho. When they came to Jericho, he says, Joshua tells them very clearly now, everything comes to the treasury. He said, the gold, the silver, he says, the precious things you find, he says, he's going to come into the house of God. But you're telling me there's a Bible principle there. The Bible principle is the tithe belongs to God. I believe it was 32, I could be wrong on that, but 32 different other cities they're going to destroy. I'm sorry, 32 other kings they're going to destroy, several more cities. But you understand that God said, the first one belongs to me. That's why it's going to go to the treasury, which is again a picture of that all that God gives us, the first fruits go to God. All right, and then of course the rest the Lord lets us have. By the way, from after Jericho on, they were allowed to take of the spoils. All right, just this particular one. Now we understand that Achan did not obey that. Achan, when he went in Jericho, they marched around the walls of Jericho 7 times. Walls fall down. They go in, and Achan steals, takes gold, wedge of gold, I think some silver there, and then the Babylonian garment, and then he goes and hides him in his tent. And I want you to notice a couple of things here. Look at your Bible now in Joshua chapter 7, verse number 11. Verse number 10 says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. You know, I tell you, that always stands out off the page to me. Achan sinned, but God said Israel sinned. And I don't know about you as far as your family, but if you've got somebody in you living in your house and they're not doing right, God looks at the family. If you have a church member and they're openly not living right, God looks at the church. You have a man out of the 12 tribes of Israel, God looks at Israel. And so it's important, especially if you're leadership in the home's dad, leadership in the church's pastor. You know, it's important for us to make sure that we do not just let things go. Are you with me so far this morning? Several different lessons, I guess, this morning. But, Seth is working that job at Hobby Lobby, and I've asked him more than once, are you tithing? You say, well, he's a big boy. He can tithe on his own. Not if he's living in my house. He's not going to live in my house and not tithe. I said, you better be tithing. All right? And, of course, now that since I'm the pastor, I can go to Brother Stumpf. Brother Stumpf, I want to know if he's tithing, by the way. Check on that for me. But I want to tell you something. It's important when you look at the whole that you make sure that you're doing right. And so God looked at Israel, and he didn't say Achan sinned. He said Israel sinned. All right, so again, kind of important. All right, thank you very much. Verse number 11, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing. What was the accursed thing? Well, what they weren't supposed to take. And have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Now, church, I want to say something else, if you don't mind. Did you notice that God said tomorrow? Now, that might not mean a whole lot to you, but to me, that's God's mercy. Think about it, church family. Here Joshua comes to the children of Israel and says, hey, listen, Israel, tomorrow, God says somebody has stolen the accursed thing, and tomorrow we're going to find out who it is. Now, if you were Achan and you already knew somebody knew, wouldn't you think you'd just come right up and say, hey, it's me? Okay, but he didn't do that. You talk about the mercy of God. God sometimes gives us time to get right, all right, before his judgment comes down. But look what happens next. Verse 15, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought them the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Verse number 19 now, look what he says. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Let me stop again. I don't mean to stop so much this morning. A lot of things come to my mind, I guess, right now. But, you know, I preached a message not long ago on what were you created for. I did it actually in the Christian school for chapel, and I think I did it in the morning service or one of the services here. That I have not gotten that off my mind as far as why was I created. And God only created us for two things. He created us, and it's very clear in the scripture because he says this. God created, number one, for his glory, and number two, he created us for his pleasure. Those are the only two things that God said you were created for. If you wanted to look at a side note as far as a lady, God created you to be a helpmeet. But for the two things that God created us to bring glory to God and create us to do his pleasure. Now, I'm not going to re-preach that message this morning. But when you think about the glory of God and how it's mentioned here, do you know what brings glory to God? And whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, do all to the glory of God. God says that when we praise him, we bring glory to God. God says that when we witness about Jesus Christ, we bring glory to God. This one here is kind of interesting to me, though. Did you notice here what he says in verse number 19? And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. I don't know if you thought about this before, but every morning you get up and you spend time talking to the Lord, and part of your prayer time is confessing your sins. You know what that does? Brings glory to God. We don't think of it that way, but when you got up this morning and said, Lord, please forgive me for my pride, and forgive me from lustful thinking, laziness, selfishness, ungodliness, foolish talk, multitude of words, whatever it might be that you confess this morning, do you know what that does? That brings glory to God. So there's just different things that God says it brings him glory, and again, that being one of them is our confession of sin. He says to Achan, he says, bring glory to God by confessing. He says, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. Now I want you to notice what Achan's confession says. Verse number 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Verse 21, what's the next word? When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I what? All right, so verse 21, I saw. Verse number 21, also I coveted. He says, I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the tent, in the midst of my tent, in the silver under it, all right? Now, I want you to notice what he says here. He says three things in verse number 21. He says, I saw, I coveted, I took. I saw, I coveted, I took. Now, interestingly, this morning, what I want to, again, I think the Lord's going to have us deal with this a little bit more in the morning service this morning. And again, I don't think it's by accident because our theme being 2020 vision. Somebody said, why'd you do 2020 vision? He says, because we're never going to do it again. You know, when you're going to have another 2020, I don't think it's going to happen. But somebody, I think Brother Cornwell said we should do 2030 vision during 2030. but 2020, you know, the idea of being able to see things clearly. Church family, so much goes on in our life because of what we see that we don't even think about. You've heard me say before and probably multiple times that the two things that the devil uses is our eyes and ears because those are the only gates to the mind.
And what happens is we open a door for the devil by what we see and by what we hear. Satan cannot get to you except through your mind, and he can't get to your mind except through what you see and hear. Remember what he said in Acts 4, verse number 20? The disciples were talking, Peter and John. He says, but we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. All right, so I've got to be very careful as far as my sight. Now, this morning, I'm not going to deal with hearing, but I tell you that I could go that direction also this morning, but I'm going to try not to. But I want you to think about this idea as far as what you see, what you bring in through the eye gate, as far as how it's harmful to you. And how many, y'all have a Sunday school lesson? Anybody not get a Sunday school lesson this morning? Y'all got Sunday school lessons? All right, good. If you'll notice, there's much mentioned there from the book of Proverbs about a person's eyesight. In fact, a lot. It talks about as far as God's eyes. The eyes of the Lord are in what? Every place. Behold, that means God sees everything, everywhere, all the time. All right? The eyes of the Lord are every place. Aren't you glad of that? Amen, Brother Baker? You can clap, it won't bother me, man. I tell you what, clap for God. Hey, can you understand that God sees everything? Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? God sees what's going on in our life all the time. But then it talks about others' eyes. I think if I remember the outline correctly, it talks about other people's eyes. All right, it's going to talk about the drunkard's eyes. It's going to talk about the wicked person's eyes. It's going to talk about the greedy person's eyes. And it just goes through a series of people from the book of Proverbs as far as how they see things is how they live. In other words, what they do is dictated by what they see. And so it's important. You're not a drunkard. Now, I know there's exceptions to this. If you say, well, a blind person can be a drunk. But truthfully, a person is drunk because they see what they're drinking before they drink it. Alrighty? A wicked person takes in through the eye gate things that are wicked, which causes him to do wicked things. So in other words, they go hand in hand. We've got to be careful as far as what we see. And of course, I think your last point there in your lesson there is talking about our eyes. Alrighty? As far as what our eyes are supposed to be, they're supposed to be open, they're supposed to be bountiful. Talking about, basically, it's interesting how the eyesight and the action always goes together. Bountiful, talking about being a giver. All right, so a giving eye produces a giving heart, produces a giving hand. All right, so again, what we see is so important. All right, hey, I can tell you what you are if I knew what you see. Let me think about it. All week long. Now, you come to church this morning, which I'm thankful for, and I'm glad that you're here this morning. But, you know, sometimes the Lord has a hard time getting through to us through the preaching service because we've put so much through the eye gate all week long that God, we're spending just a few minutes with his word in front of us, but yet we'll spend hours in front of a television or hours in front of something that should not be seen for a Christian. And we put all that in, and what happens is our life, and I should say our actions of life, are based upon what we're putting into the mind. What are we putting into the mind? What we see and hear. So this morning, I want you to think about this thing of eyes. And again, I almost brought up grease board in this morning. I probably should have this morning, try to keep your attention. But I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, and I think it might be the last part of your lesson. I'm going to look real quick here. And I want to talk to you about things that we're not supposed to see. Things that we're not supposed to see as far as our eyes. And I think this is, if I remember correctly, on your lesson, it's called the practical lessons. And I want to talk to you about these things this morning for just a few moments. I think it should be the last point of your lesson, practical lessons about the eyes this morning. There are some things that we're not supposed to put in front of our eyes. And I want to just talk to you briefly. The verses I think should be typed out for you there this morning. Hey, listen, if you want to be what God wants you to be, you have to guard your eyes. You have to guard your eyes. You can't just let come up into your eyes, whatever. You know, again, I know the seeing and hearing kind of go hand in hand, and I think we might have talked about hearing here not too long ago. But I have a hard time with my, I want to make sure, restatement what I'm about to say, I want to make sure my kids don't just get in a car and turn the radio on. All right? You know why? Because they have no control over what's going to come through that radio. If you just turn it on, it's okay, let whatever it's going to play is going to play. I want to dictate what plays to my ears. All right? I want to dictate what comes in front of my eyes. Hey, there's some things you can do nothing about. David was out walking on his balcony. David and Bathsheba. David was out walking on his balcony. And it's very interesting because God says the word see and the word look in the same verse. But David walked out and the Bible says he saw a woman bathing. And then he looked. All right, to me, here's the context. We're always going to have things that come in front of our eyes. Oh, that's bad. But there's a difference between when you see something and you look at something. All right. And by the way, when you look at all the guys and all the people in Scripture that messed up, you're going to find out the eye gate was used first. All right. Lot, which way you want to go? Okay, let me see first. Oh, and the Bible says that he looked and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan and that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. You know why? Because of what he saw. What happened to Lot? Lot ends up losing his entire family. Lot ends up getting his own two daughters pregnant. I mean, you talk about a sordid situation, and it all started by what he saw. All right, Genesis chapter 13, where it talks about that. But do you understand it's important? David on Bathsheba, it's what he saw when he saw Bathsheba bathing. All right, Samson, when he went down, the Bible says he went down to the valley of Sorek. And when he went down to the valley of Sorek, the Bible says he saw a girl, a woman, a Philistine. And then he went into there and he goes back to his mom and dad and says, Dad, I want you to get that Philistine woman because she pleaseth me well. Where did it all start? It started by what he saw. Shemley, you're going to leave today, and we need to have a concern as well as a conviction that I'm not just going to let anything come before my eyes. I want to be careful that I put the right things in so that God's pleased with me and that I can do what God wants me to do. All right, quickly, let's look at these things together. First of all, you should have in your lesson there. Again, these things that we should not put in front of our eyes. The first thing is wicked things. Psalm 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It should not cleave to me. Now think about that. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You know, we get on our children because of pornography. You know, I remember, and again, I was probably, I would have to guess, to be honest with you, I don't remember how old I was. I could have been 15, 16 years old. And there was a guy that went to our church. He got it. Now, of course, back then there was no internet. I mean, there was no internet back then. But anyway, so he had gotten a hold of a pornography magazine. All right, I don't know if it's Playboy or Hustler, it was bad, whatever it was. And I remember seeing the cover of that page. And of course, mom and dad didn't talk about those kind of things and anything like that. And I remember him, that boy handling that page. And I just thought, when I saw the cover, I thought, wow. And you just know, hey, I'm not supposed to look at that. But you know that picture, and I don't remember what the picture was, but I remember that day, and I remember that person, I remember the magazine. It's because when something comes in the eye gate, it's hard to get rid of those things. So now here we are in the day that we're living today, and a person doesn't have to hunt down a magazine and hide it. A person just has to carry a phone. We're living in a day today where our young people have access to the internet, and with all the parental controls that there are not enough to keep our kids from seeing pornography. It's impossible. I mean, you have websites and apps and things of that sort that use familiar terminology that is not dirty terminology to get a person to go to that particular website, so they open it up and they, whoa, I didn't know that that's what that was. The pop-ups, and again, I'm not super familiar with all this, and I don't say that with humble naiveness, but as far as these, my father-in-law was on something, and him and I were together, and his phone and this picture popped up, and I thought, man alive, what in the world? And of course, he was just as shocked as I was. The pop-ups. I mean, we're just living in a day. And you know, what's the world trying to do? They're trying to get into the mind. How do they get into the mind? They get into the mind through the eyesight. They get into the mind through what we see. So we have to make sure that we're very, very careful when it comes to what we see, when it comes to wickedness. And church, I mean, we have to live in this world, okay? So you're going to have to go, and sometimes you're going to go into the store in the summertime, and women are going to be walking around with not enough on. But you know, most of the time, the problem with Christians is not what we see by accident. The problem with Christians is the things that we see on purpose. So we need to say, like, and it's a good verse to memorize, Psalm 101:3, I will set, that's another verse, an emphatic statement, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'm not going to make a practice of putting things before my eyes that I shouldn't see, all right? You know, Jesus was talking to the multitude, and he said that, in Matthew chapter 18, he said that if a person, I'm trying to think of the right word, causes a child to trip up. Now, I can't remember the word for trip up, but if you cause a child to trip up, that you should have a millstone put around your neck and cast into the sea. I feel like that sometimes we as parents, we're the ones tripping our own children up. You know why? Because of what we let them see. And that seed that is sometimes a wicked seed, sometimes it's planted and it grows into a tree, and then what's going to happen is 10, 15 years down the road, we're going to say, man, I don't know why he did that. Okay, well, maybe because you planted a seed from something that they saw that they should have never saw. All right, so again, the idea of wickedness, we got to make sure that we don't put wicked things before our eyes, okay? Church family, no perfect people, no perfect Christians, no perfect world till we see Jesus Christ. But until then, the Lord wants us to strive to make sure that we don't put inside the eye gate things that are wicked, all right? Next thing, number two. All right, here's what he says next. He says, not only should we not see wickedness, kind of went along with what I just said, using it as an illustration, but number two, women in a sensual manner. I put the word sensual manner, and again, I changed my lesson a little bit. Hopefully that's what yours says. Do you all have this in front of you? Okay, just making sure. All right, what did Job say? He made a covenant with his eyes. Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? All right, in other words, think about it. It goes back to the eye gate, ear gate. He says, I made a covenant with this thing right here so that I won't use this thing right here. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You can't think upon something that you're not seeing. I took the kids to a place called Power Play. I don't remember where it was, to be honest with you. But it was Stephen's birthday. I think it was Stephen I took with me. Yeah, it was Stephen I took with me. I think it was his birthday in October, last October. And I went to this Power Play, and they had these different games that you could play. They gave you this little card. You swipe the card, and they could play different games. And him and I sat down at this game, and no, it was riding a motorcycle is what it was. I think is what it was, riding a motorcycle. And as soon as the thing turned on, these girls that came in with not enough clothes on. So immediately him and I get up and go to another game. You know, our kids are being fed that from Hollywood to internet to games. And what? They're constantly throwing pictures in their mind, and especially this thing, this draw of women. And ladies, this morning, you know, I mean, you're not completely naive in this situation, that a man is drawn to a woman by sight and a woman is drawn to a man by touch. You know, it's amazing, billion-dollar industry is pornography. And the reason for that is because a man is drawn by what he sees, all right? I think sometimes girls, they have two responses. Number one, they're offended that a man would think that way. Well, I hate to tell you this, God made us this way, okay? All right, now we don't have to live that kind of life. God wants to be spirit, live the spirit-filled life, not the dead in Christ life. So sometimes women are offended, and then sometimes, you know, women, they kind of just laugh it off. I wouldn't laugh it off if I were you. If you got boys at home, I wouldn't laugh it off. Hey, I want to tell you something. I've been pastoring long enough to see young people that have come through our church that their parents did not know what they were doing by looking on the internet, okay? It's just, and you talk about warped things. And you say, well, my boy wouldn't do it. Can I tell you how many people have said that? Don't do that. I don't want to be offensive by calling you names this morning. You're crazy, okay? You're naive, okay? Your boy has the same flesh that Adam had, all righty? And all the way since Adam till now, and all the unbelievable, ungodly things that have taken place in mankind's history are the same things that your child is and ourselves are capable of doing. How does it happen? It happens through what we see. So I want to make sure that I don't put those kind of things in front of them. All right, you guys hear me all the time say this. And again, this is your pastor speaking. You can do whatever the Lord leads you to do. But this boyfriend-girlfriend thing, that's the craziest thing in the world. My kid cannot get married until he gets done with high school. So why should I put him in a dating relationship that makes him want to have a married relationship before he's done with high school? That doesn't even make sense to me. Now, again, I don't mean offensive. By the way, I'm only in charge. I'm the overseer for the church. You're the overseer for the home. Whatever you allow in your home, that's your business. But I'm just trying to tell you, as your pastor, we're making a big mistake by encouraging this boyfriend-girlfriend relationship when the children are not even at marrying age yet. Unless you want your kids to get married before high school. Before they're done with high school. So I don't want to say, you say, well, Samuel's 17 years old. I know he's 17 years old, and I have to stay on top of him because he likes girls. And by the way, I'm glad he likes girls. If he didn't like girls, I'd be in big trouble. Excuse me, he'd be in big trouble. So I'm glad he likes girls. And believe me, he does. And I have to keep a handle on it. You say, hey, by the way, when he's done with his senior year of high school, I don't care if he gets married. I know that sounds crazy, okay? But my goal is he is not at marrying age yet. So don't even think about it. Once you get to marrying age, I don't care who you like. Well, I didn't say that, did I? I do care who you like. He's not in here. He won't listen to the message. Don't worry. So what I'm trying to say is this, that we have to guard their eyes to make sure that they don't get messed up in this area of women when it comes to sensual manner. Church family, if the wisest person who had ever lived messed up, then I can mess up. If the man after God's own heart, now Solomon was the wisest person to ever live, okay? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. You don't think he had a lust problem? Okay. David, the man after God's own heart, messed up, okay? Church, man, how do you wrap your mind around that? If the guy who had a heart for God messed up and a guy who was the wisest person to live messed up, then I want to tell you something, we better put the guards up. All righty? And we got to be careful with this thing as far as the women, as far as how we see things and that kind of thing. Next thing, number three. What else we're not supposed to be before our eyes is wine. Look not up on the wine, Proverbs 23:31. Look not up on the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup. Now, church family, I'm sure I get ridiculed. Nobody really says much to me about it, but I'm sure I get ridiculed about this thing about the alcohol thing. I do go to grocery stores that have alcohol. To me, the biggest thing about Proverbs 23:31 is that we're not supposed to see it in the cup. That's the only thing, okay? And again, I take it specifically. God does not want us to look at the wine. So when a commercial comes on and the foam is coming over the glass that's in a beer glass, we're not supposed to look at that, all right? God says don't. You say, why? Well, because you're not supposed to be drinking, all righty? So guess what? The best way not to drink is don't put it in your mind, all right? How you not put it in your mind? Don't look at it, all righty? Some of you have lost family members, and when you go over for Christmas and holidays, they're going to have a little bit of wine with the meal, all right? You're not supposed to look at that, all right? You're not supposed to be around that, all right? Same chapter, chapter 23, be not among wine bibbers, all right? You know what a wine bibber is? It's a habitual drinker of wine. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. I'm not supposed to be in that kind of crowd. You know, I try my best not to go to places that serve alcohol. I just got back from Panama. I wasn't around alcohol then. I know there's some times I go to the mission field that it's semi-close. I never go into a bar whatsoever, et cetera. But church, I mean, the key is we're not supposed to be, and by the way, I mean, you go to the foreign field, there's alcohol everywhere. I remember the first time I got on an international flight and they were going through with these little wine bottles that they were gonna, you know, a person can buy. And again, that stuff has not been around that long, okay? But here's the key, okay? I can be in the same room and there's alcohol in the room. The problem is I'm not supposed to look at it, so I want to find a way to stay as far away from it as possible because he said, look not up on the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup. All right, so again, what's not supposed to be before our eyes? Wickedness. What's not supposed to be before our eyes? Women in a sensual manner. What's not supposed to be before our eyes? Wine. All right, look what else he says here. I'm about out of time, but let me go ahead and just go just a little bit longer, I guess. Psalm chapter 119:37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Just remember, you know what vanity is? Vanity means empty or worthless. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, for me, this is probably my hardest one. I mean, maybe it might be one of the other ones, but this is definitely up on the list. You know, there's things that we look at that are not necessarily wrong, but they're worthless. It's so temporal. There's no eternal value in it. You know, I know some of you probably think I'm really against people who do Facebook, and I'm not really. But did you know social media can take so much of your time and do nothing for you? You know, sometimes the films and videos and movies that you watch might not necessarily be sinful, but sometimes they're just worthless. God says we got to make sure we're careful as far as what comes before our eyes. I'll just mention the last two. The next one is wealth. Church, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having money. It's the love of money is the what? The love of money is the root. Does it say having money is the root of all evil? Okay, so it's just the love of money. But you know what? You've got to be careful. In fact, the psalmist said this, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If riches increase, all right? Some of you say, man, I wish that day would come. Okay. But you know, it's funny because two things can kill you as a Christian, all right? Extreme poverty or extreme riches. You know, you ought to try to be balanced in your Christian life. And when in this area of money, don't keep money the main thing, all right? It's not about how much money you have. It's not how much is your 401k. It's not how much is your retirement. Yes, you have to keep track of that, but that should not be the first thing you think about every day. All right? Don't put it in front of you. All right? Money's not the issue. It's going to burn up. All right? Last of all, worldly lust. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. All right. I know it's a little more teachy this morning, but I want you to understand this morning, what you see is important. Not just our children. What you see is important. Well, Pastor, I kind of messed up. Well, I can tell you where it started. Promise you that. What you see. You got to be careful what you see. Hey, may we say like Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. I'm going to make a promise. I'm not going to look at that anymore. I'm going to make a promise. I'm not going to let my eyes see that anymore. It's the best thing for you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a moment?